This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome to Go Love Yourself.
I've seen so many pictures of couples and pumpkin patches and bonfires. Sorry, I'm really happy for you. Just, yeah.
She's not.
I'm really not.
Laura, you look so cosy and cute. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm not going to lie. I'm really stressed out with the old house move stuff.
Oh, no.
My stomach's been like a washing machine for about 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
I just found out that this is all new to me. We've been gazundered. Gazundered?
Gazumped?
No, gazundered, where someone in the chain basically says, we want money off or we're pulling out for no reason. It's like a thing. I'd never heard of it, but that's what's happened. So I tentatively wait and have been waiting for well over a week now. Such fun when you have anxiety anyway. So yeah, citalopram is my best friend. It normally is, but it's my extra best friend.
Oh no, this is the worst. I'm so sure you said 6 months ago, mate, oh, it should be a breezy process. We'll be in like by autumn. If you're moving, anyone, never bloody say it, because I don't know any house move that has gone to plan.
No, I've had so many messages from people saying like it's been an awful process. I think just because of house prices going down and the mortgage rates and everything just gone to shit. So like no one's really moving. It's all a bit stressful. But anyway, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
You'd have thought though, if nobody's moving, like literally the estate agents and the bloody solicitors should be begging for your fucking money and your cash and your business. No. It doesn't make any sense, mate. I'm so with you. It is so frustrating.
I'm holding out though. And actually, honestly, I don't actually care at this point whether we move or not. I just want to know. Like, I hate not knowing. I'm such a control freak. And because if we don't move, I just said to Matt, right, all of the money, like we've been in save mode for 6 months. I said, let's just go on a big holiday and forget about
it. Do it anyway. Fuck it.
So yeah. But yeah.
Fucking hell, mate. Okay, well, I've got all my fingers crossed for you. We've all got all of our fingers crossed
Thanks.
For you.
Yes, please do. And how have you been? Because I saw the internet and, well, let's rephrase, men on the internet have not been your friends lately. And it made me really sad when I was reading that it's kind of gotten to you a little bit. How are you doing?
I'm absolutely fine. So I put on my story on the day of recording, I put this on today, and I basically kind of said that the last few months, there's been a couple of videos of mine that have gone viral, which, you know, being someone who does shit online, like, oh my God, I'm so famous, it's going to be so great. It's fucking terrifying when that happens, because always, as a bigger woman, they end up on the wrong side of the internet. And whether the topic of your video is about the size of your body or not, some people on the internet, and in my case, it has been 95-99% men, want to tell you how disgusting they think you are. They must tell you. They can't possibly keep it to themselves or just scroll on by. And I've had that kind of thing even on the video that I posted of me taking my nan to Barbie.
Which is the most wholesome content ever.
Yeah, the most wholesome, wonderful video. Yeah. And I still had a fair amount of horrible comments on that, either about my appearance or how dare I film my day with my nan. And I'm like, well, it's a 90-second video of an 8-hour day. So fuck off. Honestly, it made me so angry that people were saying that I was using my nan for videos and stuff, which, okay, whatever. Questioning my intelligence because I like the film. Whatever. But then more than that, it's like it is just a lot of sometimes people assuming your health, saying, oh, well, you're gonna die. Am I? Oh, I wasn't aware. Oh, well, as you've told me, stranger, I must sort this out somehow. It's a weird thing, isn't it? And I never thought I'd say this. You sort of get used to it.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, you must have learned this so quickly and you stop the noise somehow. But sometimes it just, when it's relentless, it just wiggles its way in a little bit.
Absolutely, it will do. And you're only human. That's what people forget, that there is a human person sat behind, like, a profile.
And I had, like my mum always says, and I know you've said before, like, just ignore. And I'm much better at it now, because I think I got one 2 weeks ago that absolutely floored me. It was like a gut punch. It was this guy who just went absolutely insane. I'd actually posted about the Israel conflict. So completely unrelated. And this guy went in my DMs and he sent me an essay of everything that's wrong with me. And it was so intricate and personal and disgusting. And I was absolutely dumbfounded. Like, I've reported him and everything.
Oh no, Lauren.
And I was like, and then I just kind of was like, I should have ignored it, but I went in and go like, do you understand that your words have impact on somebody. Like, this will now sit with me. Do you understand that?
But like, that's what they want, I think. They want a reaction.
I know. Reaction. And he got it. And then after a little while, I was like, clearly he's the devil.
Yeah.
So I just deleted. But yeah, so I just think inevitably those little words sit with you. And as a woman in a bigger body who is still working on body confidence, sometimes they can have like negative impacts. And I think those words are starting to be a bit louder in my head at the minute, and I don't like it, and I don't like where I think it's going. Of, I feel like there's a pressure to lose weight. That's where I'm at the minute. I'm not like, I think we've talked about it today, haven't we? I think we need to talk about this a little bit more, but I'm not sure I'm totally ready. So I think me and Laura have spoken about this today. What I'm going to do, I think in our bonus episode that we have for our wonderful subscribers, I'm going to start the conversation there. And I want, perhaps we can talk about it a little bit, and subscribers, you can tell us a little bit what you think about this situation and this pressure to lose weight, which is, it's a lot right now. And I haven't felt that for about 2 years. And then I think what we'll do is we'll have to potentially explore it as a full episode with everybody, because when I've kind of thought about it a little bit more, perhaps done a bit of reading, research, and tried to work my way through it, because at the minute, it just feels like it's really raw and I need to figure out how I feel. Do you reckon that's a good idea, Laura?
I think that's a great idea. And I think, you know, I think there'll be so many people listening that will be able to relate, maybe not to, you know, to being online and having that kind of trolling or pressure, but just the pressure to lose weight and the intense feelings, oh, I need to lose weight. And I saw a video recently where it was saying like how that is a woman's Roman Empire. That is, you know, that's what we all think
God.
About.
Yes, it
and
is.
And I thought, oh God, that's so true. But then I also think that's so sad. But yeah, I'm obviously sending you the biggest hug. And I promise
Thanks.
You it'll get better. It'll get easier. We'll talk about it more.
I hope so.
I'll basically tell you to shut the fuck up and know, don't be a dickhead and all of those really nice, you know, like encouraging friend things.
But you need it. That you need it. And this is why I want to talk about it on the podcast. But I hope you understand, everyone, that I'm perhaps not ready just today. I think I do need maybe another week or two just to wrap my head around it, because I'm currently at the thought of like, I have to lose weight then, because hundreds of men have told me I'm disgusting and therefore I'm disgusting. So I must lose weight. That's the only possible way. And I don't like that. That's not what I do. That's not how I feel.
No.
That's not me, is it?
Yeah.
That's not how I felt. So I need a kind of a little bit of time just to get my head around it. And then I want to share it, because how many people listening to Go Love Yourself feel like this all the time, every day? So let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Yes.
And get me 3 therapy. That's what I need.
You and me both.
But anyway, enough about that. Let's change the subject.
Yes, let's talk about the live recordings that we have coming up.
Yay!
So yeah, we've got the first one coming up, which is happening on November the 21st, Tuesday, November the 21st. And I'm so buzzing. We're already so, so excited to see so many of you there. We've got some fantastic topics to run through. And I just can't wait, to be honest with you. I'm excited for a night out.
I know, me too. That's it. We're kind of framing it as like girls' night out.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this podcast on the day it comes out, the live recording is tonight. And if you are one of our subscribers, it's tomorrow. This is very exciting.
Maybe you're on the train listening to it as you're coming to see us. That, how cool is that, to think that?
And I'm just excited to kind of make it a bit more two-way. Do you know what I mean? I want to hear from our audience, and I want to hear questions, and then, you know, things to chat about and their experiences with stuff. And we've got an idea for a topic. I want to hear what they think, if you're happy to talk about it. I just can't wait.
Hello, it's me, Kellyanne Taylor, and I am so excited to let you know that the Radio Times podcast is back. Each week, I will be sitting down with a celebrity guest to talk about their lives through the prism of TV. I'll be speaking to the hilarious TV chef Big Zoo, the wonderful comedian Joe Bram, and everyone's favourite explorer, Bear Grylls. To make sure you never miss an episode, please hit subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcast from.
All right, today's episode is all about breakups and heartache. Cue the Celine Dion music, everybody.
Do you know how long I've wanted to do this episode for, Laura? I have.
You say that about every episode. Every episode. I'm so excited. We've wanted this for ages.
This is what's so great about having a podcast, is that you have a microphone and some people listen to you and you can talk. You can wax lyrical about your opinions on stuff. I have got a lot of thoughts on breakups, heartache, heartbreak, all of it.
We're going to actually start with a listener question, I think, which set us up really nicely. What do you reckon, Smithy?
Let's do it.
Okay, our lovely listener says, my partner of 9 years just left me. Any advice for how I navigate this? I'm both scared But she says, excited.
My advice for navigating it is, if you've been with somebody for 9 years, 9 years is a very long time, right? Nearly a decade of your life. Mm-hmm. And as wonderful as relationships can be, sometimes we can lose ourselves in them. Or even if you haven't, there'll be parts of your life that you have maybe missed out on, or you've wanted to do, or have been different for you in the last 9 years. Now is your time.
Yes.
Now is so your time. Just go out with your mates, or stay in with your mates, or go out and meet new friends. And go and do these things. And it doesn't have to be getting pissed. And it doesn't have to be expensive holidays. It can just be invite the girls round and watch Bridget Jones, or do a craft night, or go out for dinner, or go to the theatre show, or go see a show, or lean into the things that you absolutely love and be completely selfish. And I mean that in the best way possible. Make it all about you and the things that you've wanted to do, and fill your time, maybe fill your brain, maybe you need the distraction, but just enjoy the absolute freedom and fabulousness that is being single without dating, because it is wonderful.
I think that's sound advice. I think leaning into the excitement and trying not to feel sort of like the scared as much as you possibly can. I think, like Lauren always says this to me, and it is such sound advice, feel your feelings. So if you are feeling scared and vulnerable, like I remember when me and Matt broke up, we'd only been together about a year, and I was really scared because I was like, I've got to start all over again. I was worried about like finances, like how am I going to afford my flat and my bills. I was scared about meeting new people, scared about being lonely. There were so many things, but it was also a bit like, freedom. There are positives. There are positives and negatives in every situation. So I think, leaning into the excitement, the fact that you've said that you're excited, I think says a lot. So lean into that, lean on your friends, and sending you all of our love. And I'm sure you will be absolutely fine. One thing that I always used to say to Samaritans callers was that, like, it's temporary. What you're feeling is temporary. Like, this too shall pass. So yeah. Onwards and upwards.
Yeah, I can totally empathize with the scary thing, because like if you've been in a relationship for a long time, that's your norm, that's your life, that's your, depending on how old you are, you've built a future, or you're living in that future, and all of a sudden it changes. Or maybe it's not all of a sudden, but either way, like, it's now different, and that is really scary. And especially if it's something that is not your decision, that sucks.
Yeah. And also, like, even just like navigating like logistics of it, like who gets the dog, who gets the cat, who gets the kids, like who's moving out, who's moving in. It's upheaval, isn't it? And it's change. And I don't know about anyone else, but I'm like really bad with change. Like, I don't like it. So my advice as well would be to get that sorted as soon as you possibly can, the logistics, and then you can like heal. Like, I always think, I say it like I made this up. I did not. I read it somewhere. It's a common thing. Everyone knows it. But the end of a relationship is like, it's a grief process. And that, like,
oh, awful,
grief, there are different stages of it. And so I think you do have to kind of like lean into those and accept that it's such a roller coaster of emotions, and like, it's a journey, babes. It's a journey.
Babes, it's a journey. Crikey, Mikey. Yeah, I think you're totally right. Talking about that just makes me miss the breakups when you were 14, 15, when all you had to do is maybe take a different route home from school, get a slightly later bus. And now it's like, when people break up, it's like you might be living together, or you've got a mortgage, or you've got a dog or kids. And it's like, oh, mate, anyone going through breakups in proper adulthood with houses and dogs and kids, you have my sympathy. It is hard. Mm. However, what's harder? Being in a relationship that's wrong.
Yeah, 100%.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one, that is the moral of this whole bloody podcast episode, will be, as hard as heartbreak is and breakups and everything, and they are so shit, being in a relationship that's wrong for you is 1,000,000 times harder and worse. So I think, like you said, Laura, if you're feeling a little bit of like, oh, this is my chance, then it is, and lean into the excitement.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is a really good question from one of our lovely listeners. They have asked, how do I not let my breakup knock my confidence? Oh my God, so hard.
It is tricky, isn't it? Because it's really hard not to take it personally. Like, oh, is it because they don't fancy me? Is it because I'm not good enough? Is it because I'm not interesting enough? It's really easy, I think, to like think it's because it's something that you've done, when actually sometimes relationships just come to a natural end. Or it could be because something that is completely like unrelated. But it's inevitable that we will question ourselves. I think it's really important, like I would say, if you can, like, don't blame yourself and don't think you're not good enough, because you are good enough. It's just that relationships do end. You know, some people are in our lives for just a season, and it's really hard. It's a really, really tricky thing, and I can really empathize with that, because it does knock your confidence and your self-worth. And I don't know, when I like had my big breakup, like I felt really embarrassed as well. Like I was like, when I was telling my friends and family, like, oh, single again. And I just, it really knocked my confidence and my self-worth, because like we spoke about in the episode with Shaney Silver, people, society, values, relationships and marriage and all of that. And I think that it's really hard when you are single going for a breakup to not feel it. But I think it's completely normal.
Totally normal. There are some people who have gone or are going through breakups as well with someone who has said to them, it's because of this, or have made to feel it's because you've done this, or you're not doing this, or I don't fancy you anymore, I don't love you anymore. So it is like glaring, do you know what I mean? Like glaringly obvious is a personal thing. And I know, like, the worst heartbreak I had, I still don't really know, although as women, we always know.
We always know.
We always know why. And I know why.
Okay, so what do you think was the why?
Oh, well, the two things. He was absolutely cheating on me. And two, I think it was because I'd gained weight. Started dating him when I was a size 12, had an hourglass figure, like, you know, a little bit bigger than what would be beauty standard, but like cool beans. And then I think I got to like 25 and started putting on weight. And so by the time we broke up, I was maybe a size 16. How dare I?
Oh my God.
You know, and I'd gone through, you know, the year prior, I'd gone through some like really shit times. My best friend nearly died and my granddad died in the space of like 3 months. And then, so I wasn't doing too well. And then, so that happened and my confidence was knocked for years, right? For years. So it's inevitable. And, you know, yeah, it made me question myself, and then, you know, it makes you not want to trust anybody and makes you like, yeah, just just wonder what's wrong with you, because all of a sudden they've moved on with somebody else and it's like, well, clearly it's a me problem, and it knocks your confidence. And I think for me, it then turned, sadly, other things happened about a year later, which just skyrocketed my mental health issues and weight gain, but it was just awful. And so I don't think I dated for a long, long time properly. So it knocks my confidence. So I totally get it. I don't know if I have tips for that, because I didn't do it well at the time. But in hindsight, I think the main thing to remember is, why are we going to trust the opinion of somebody that broke your heart? Why are you going to trust the opinion and the attitude of somebody who treated you really badly, who maybe your mum didn't like, and maybe your friends all hated, and maybe there was a fucking reason? And, you know, even if you loved them, the relationship clearly wasn't right. So let's not trust the opinions of somebody who wasn't right for you. It's going to take you time, and it might, you know, what really bothers me is that, you know, people are like, you know, in 6 months you might feel better. Maybe it might take a year. Some people, it takes years, years and years and years. And that's fine to feel better. Your confidence will come back. You just need to remember kind of the things that we talk about in this podcast, which don't just relate to body image, but everything. Like, know who you are.
Yeah, remember who you are. And remember that you're a bad bitch.
Yes, obviously, of course. And if you need a bit of shallow validation, go on Tinder. Fuck me. Go and have a lovely time for a while. It'll be fine. It's going to knock your confidence inevitably. Hear the opinions of your friends and family who know you better, who will not be saying that you are anything other than absolutely wonderful.
Wise words from Lauren Smith. We should put them on the pack. Okay, this is a controversial one. What are your thoughts on being friends with an ex? I was recently dumped, says our listener, but he still wants to be friends. I think it will make things worse.
All right, I am, right, very black and white when it comes to breakups, which is very un-me. I don't understand how people are friends with exes. I don't get it. It doesn't work. Nope. If you can find me an example of it working, cool, but you can't.
I agree.
Except now people are gonna DM me and be like, this is the example.
Excuse
no, don't do
me.
It.
I'm best friends with my ex.
I don't think it's possible. I do not think it's possible. And like, so I get in trouble. So all my family and friends listening to this will understand, will laugh when I say this. I get in trouble with how black and white I am about breakups, because I'm like, as soon as you break up, cold turkey, see you later, bye. Understand circumstantially that might be difficult if you're living together and all of that, but you don't get over somebody by still talking to them. So you have to go cold turkey and feel the heartbreak and feel uncomfortable. See how black and white I am. It's so mean.
Different side of Lauren coming out today, everyone. No, I do agree. We agree on something. Can we just acknowledge that before we move on? No, yeah, I completely agree. I don't see how it works. I wouldn't want Matt being friends with any of his exes. Like, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's okay. Like, I just, no, there's a boundary. There's a line. Like, see you later. Goodbye.
Maybe less of a question for you as you're married, but like, would you ever get back with someone who had broken up with you?
See, I think that's okay. I think that can work. And I speaking from experience, because me and Matt broke off a year after we were together. And actually, I think we really needed it, because my anxiety was crippled at that point. And don't get me wrong, Matt was an arsehole. He's in the next room, so he's probably listening. I hope he is. He was an absolute arsehole. He joined the place, he got his like God complex, all these new friends. But I also didn't handle it very well. When we broke up, I was an absolute mess. I couldn't not talk to him. I missed him so much. I was calling him, texting him. Even though it was kind of a mutual decision, I couldn't let go. And then about 3 months, 4 months, 5 months later, I was in a really good place, and I was like, yeah, see you later, Matt who? And he came crawling back. I miss you. I really love you still. And then we were really good, and we've been good ever since. Obviously, we have our ups and downs like everybody, but I think it can work. And I think sometimes a break is needed, or, you know, like at the time, and then you grow as people, your lives change. Because also you got to remember sometimes breakups happen because of circumstances. So I would never close the door on that. I don't agree with friendships. I don't think that can really work personally. But I think give it a go. Unless you broke up with them because they were like a cheater or an arsehole, there was violence or anything that, like, that to me is not okay. But if you just broke up because you kind of, you know, something happened, or that wasn't like, or maybe even if they did cheat, like, people make mistakes, do you know? I don't know.
Yes.
Yes. No, here's another black and white from Lauren.
Again, slightly less black and white. I'm slightly more grey about this.
Mm.
What was the reason you broke up? If that reason's still a thing, no, thank you. However, what I will say is, I think, Laura, you guys are the exception, not the rule.
Oh,
and
really?
I think people think it's the other way around.
Okay.
And I think people are like, oh, you know, going back to an ex is so easy because it's comfortable and it's familiar and all that kind of, especially if you're like newly single and that, and you're newly dating, actually, should I say, rather than newly single. And that can be scary and a bit shit sometimes. Mm. And you just want the comfort and ease of going back to an ex. I understand. And I think people seem to think that going back to an ex is always going to be fabulous. So I think you're the exception, not the rule.
Okay. Good to know.
But that's a good thing. It's worked out for you. I love it. I find it so interesting that you said that you think friendship's different, though. Interesting.
Yeah, I just don't. I think that they're like...
So the difference is sex, is what you're saying. Like, if you've boned them, she'll take you back.
If you've boned, then you can't be friends. I'm sorry. I think it's weird as well. Like, I'm not comfortable with that. And I would feel like that's like a bit of a betrayal as well. Like, because I'd still be thinking about that person over coffee naked. Like, I've seen your willy. Like, and then I just think, I wouldn't know. No,
I'm with you.
Maybe that's a bit old fashioned, but...
I don't know. I can't. This is it. I can't really comment anymore. No idea. But I will say that I. It's so weird not to say on this podcast and what not to, because people
go
remember
on,
things.
Just say it.
No, I can't. But I have been. I have
on.
Been back to an ex, and I just think. It's going to make my friends really laugh. Even if it's the ex that all your friends love and miss, and your mum loves and misses, even if it's millions bloody later, it's still not going to work because it ended for a reason.
Yeah.
Oopsie, that was my fault. So yeah, I do understand why it's easy to go back, but I personally wouldn't go back again.
Max.
Well, no, maybe to like... a dude that was a fun time.
If you got back with your ex, I would punch you in the face.
Oh, we ain't going back to him.
No, not him. No.
My mother would never talk to him.
No.
Me again. The next question, Laura, this is a toughie and I don't know if I have an answer for it.
Mm.
Any advice on breaking up with someone who I am no longer in love with? Is it best to just rip the plaster off? Oh, that's so hard. I'm so sorry.
And I imagine this is so common. I've actually got quite a few friends in this situation at the moment who are just like, what do I do? And it's so hard because we hear all the time about how awful and how horrible dating is. Like, people like you giving us all the horror stories.
I don't talk about it. This is it. I don't date. It's so much easier. Being single, wonderful, everyone. Dating.
Tell me that again when you're crying into your Pepsi Max and your mint chocolate next week. No, I know it can be wonderful. I know it can be wonderful. But we hear all the time about, like, it not, it being... not so great. And so you just kind of think like, oh, you know, why rock the boat? And it's tricky. I get it. And then I also think that there's no point being, if you're not in love with someone, but how many people are just stuck in loveless, sexless marriages just for the sake of it because they've got kids or because they've got mortgages or whatever? Sometimes it's not practical and it's not easy for me. I can't sit here and just go, yeah, end it, rip the plaster off, do it. I think if you can, I think if you know that there's no love there, then I think you know what you need to do. It's just a matter of doing it. And sometimes I almost think it's easier if someone cheats on you or does something horrible because then you've got an excuse, whereas otherwise you're just kind of living in the mundane, aren't you? It's the hardest thing in the world. But if you know you're not happy and the fact that you've written in to us to say, I'm not in love with this person anymore, do I just rip the bandage off? I think says everything.
100%. Like, you know what to do. The fact that you've even asked it, you know what to do and you know it has to happen. I don't, like, how else do you do it? And it's a horrible thing to do because to tell someone or be told, I'm no longer in love with you.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Horrible, yeah.
Heartbreaking. However, the alternative is to stay in a relationship or marriage that is not right for you and wasting both of your time.
Yeah.
And potentially getting progressively more and more unhappy if there are children involved. As children of divorce, both Laura and I can attest to the fact that don't stay for the kids. Mm. What the... That was very blasé of me to say. I appreciate I'm not in that situation. However, that's what I'm talking about. So I think a conversation in a place, you know, if you live together, you know, at home, or if you don't, go somewhere that's, you know, mutual space, and you can just start the conversation really kindly. You're not trying to hurt them, but the relationship isn't working. It may be that they feel the same and they've been trying to pluck up the courage to say it as well.
Yeah.
Or they may be heartbroken by it. And I think in those circumstances, you've got to let that person have their feelings and have their reaction, as long as everyone is safe involved, of course. But you just have to rip the Band-Aid off, because if you're thinking it now... I've been in that situation, right? And I was sort of in my early 20s, and I should have ended the relationship years before. What a waste. It's actually one of my biggest regrets that I didn't do that. And that's not about the person, that's about me. Like, all you're going to do is then just waste the time and think, if you're still thinking this in a year's time, you could have done it a year ago, and both have started a brand new life and that kind of thing. So it's really tough. It's so tough, but it's the right thing to do. And don't spend the next year in a relationship that you're not, is not quite right. And as I said, they might be feeling the same as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh God, bloody breakups. This is hard work.
Isn't it? Yeah. I also love that, like, we're no bloody experts either, by the way. This is all just to caveat. These are just our opinions. You probably will disagree with them.
Yeah, this is it. I've had my heart broken and I've broken hearts. And that's all we're doing. Just using my experience, people.
Okay, next listener says, I've moved on from my ex, but I can't seem to forget about him. Is this normal?
Absolutely. Yes. Bloody yes, it is. Of course it is.
Yeah, 100%.
But no one talks about it. No one talks about that. Like, you might not be in love with them. You might have, you know, moved on from them. You're not really bothered about them, but you still think about them because you're probably thinking of the good times. Yeah. And
they're a part of your life.
Yeah. And that kind of thing. And even if it's journey. Been years and years, like, oh, the journey. Even if it's been years and years, like, you can still think about them and it's fine. It's not saying you're in love with them. It was a big part of your life. I know for me, this one particular relationship, like, coincides with some of the best times I ever had in my life. You know, I was in my early 20s, going out all the time with my friends, like, I had a job where I was earning money, but it wasn't a proper job. So I was earning money and just, like, pissing it out at Topshop every week, living my best life. That relationship coincides with that time. So I always think of, like, the good times for it, which is not good because it wasn't a good relationship all the time. But so I think it's absolutely fine to have taken your time to get over somebody and still think about them. Doesn't necessarily mean you're in love with them. What I will say, though, is in my therapies, plural, although it was never about that, I did once bring up the, you know, the awful, like, breakup and heartbreak that I went through, thinking, like, it was years afterwards and thinking I was over it. And she sort of brought something up and I just burst into tears and she was like, you're not over it yet. And then sometimes there's, like, residual pain left over. And sometimes it's not about the person. It's about, you know, the rejection or what that did to your confidence. But sometimes it is a little bit about them. So I think being honest about if you have moved on is good, and start to unravel those feelings, because they stay, if you don't feel them, they stay with you.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? I gave myself, when that happened, I gave myself 2 weeks. I remember it. I literally was like, right, you've got 2 weeks to fall apart and that's it. Then you've got to move on. Because I did that. It then took me a very, very long time. So it's fine that you still think about them, and it's fine if you haven't moved on as well.
No, definitely. Yeah, that does make sense. All right. I've got another question specifically for you, Lauren. Alison wants to know, do you feel like you want a boyfriend more in the winter? I was not expecting that. Okay. I've been single for 9 months, she says, and recently decided I want to start dating again. But I think that that's just because I've seen so many pictures of couples at pumpkin patches and bonfires. Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm really happy for you. Just, yeah.
She's not.
Really not.
Yes, guys, it's an actual thing. It's called cuffing season.
Oh.
And if anyone remembers the SNL skit last year that should have been made into a single, and it was like, it's cuffing season and all the girls be leaving to get a big boy. We want a big boy. So good. Yes, it's an actual thing. People want relationships in the winter because coziness, Christmas, loveliness, fabulous, fireworks, it. Great. It's a thing. Yes, 100%. I have thought about starting dating again purely because it is Christmas and there's lots of lovely date things to do. And every single bloody person I know is in a relationship now and it's hard. And additional to that, Christmas is such a family time. My sister is in New York. Christmas isn't going to be a big family thing for me. I don't have my own separate family that I've created, right? So I dread it. So I understand. Aww. And I do... It's almost worth signing up to Hinge again. Almost.
She's close.
But I would just prefer it if a listener hooked me up with their hot brother, to be honest.
It's on you guys. Come on, make it happen.
Yes, come on.
Let's get Lauren hooked up. I think the honesty is like, you know, you're always so honest and generous with you know, your vulnerability. And I think there'll be so many people thinking or feeling the same thing. So, yeah, I think that's great that you've shared that.
It sucks. But like, you sort of cozying up on an evening with Matt on the sofa and that kind of thing. Like,
that's the thing I miss the most. Like when I was single, was like, it wasn't sex. It wasn't like dates or anything. It was cuddles on the sofa.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And I just like, I have realized I'm not spending a huge amount of time on my lovely pink sofa at the minute because I work quite a lot now. But when I do, I'm like, there should be someone here. And especially in winter, I've got my little fake fire on. I've got my candles going. Admittedly, I'm watching history documentaries. They can't control the channel. Like, you can just sit there and look pretty. But it would be really nice to have someone there. However, I will still not do it. I will still not date at the detriment of my mental well-being.
Absolutely, yeah.
So essentially what my life at the minute is, I've worked my 9-to-5 job, which is not 9-to-5, and it's very, very full on. I've also got this wonderful podcast. I create content online. On top of that, I'm also, you know, I've got family and friends to keep up with. I've got bills. I've got my house, all this kind of stuff. I literally had to write a priority list the other day to be like, you've got to start prioritizing the things in your life. Dating didn't even make the list of 20 things. So I'm not going to start dating at the detriment of me not responding to my friends or me not working hard or me not doing this podcast or something like that. And dating is really hard. So I think it might be something I wait for in the new year. Maybe not. Don't know.
I just hope like you meet someone like the old fashioned way. Like I would love that for you. Like to not have to do the dating. I'm sure everyone wants that. But
no, it's the dream. I've always said though, I don't see me meeting my dude online.
Yeah.
Like even where I work now, there is bloody hundreds of people at my work. And there's some absolute babes walking around. My word. But I get nervous, Laura. I can't go up to them. I get really nervous.
Oh, come on. When are you nervous and shy ever?
What do I do? Do I just go up and be like, hi, my name's Lauren and I like history?
No, you do the bend and snap. Have you seen Legally Blonde?
But I also have to be very professional.
I was joking.
I can't really bend and snap. I did that once in front of Prince Harry, guys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we all know. You told us.
This is actually our last question. And one of our lovely listeners has said, now that I'm over my breakup, where do I find the confidence to date again? And do you have any good ideas for first dates? Oh, yes.
Oh, that's so hard, isn't it? Like, I think getting back on the horse, like that is such a bad expression, is really hard. Like a lot of people do like the whole rebound thing, don't they? Well, like, immediately get on the dating apps and all of that.
Yeah, no, don't do it.
I think, you know, when you're ready, like I think once enough time has passed, definitely would recommend, or like we always say, some counselling, therapy, whatever. Having the confidence. I feel like you'll probably never think you're ready. Is that fair?
Yeah, I just think one of these things, do it and your confidence will catch up with you.
Yes, yeah. Because I'll admit, like, when I was growing up, I never had any attention from, like, boys. There was, like, one dude that was an absolute arsehole. And it really wasn't until I started online dating. And at the time that I was online dating, it was considered really weird. And so I didn't really know what to expect. And, yeah, I met quite a few weirdos and people that were into BBWs and stuff like that.
That's big, beautiful women, by the way, guys.
Yeah, and it was, like, fetish stuff. It wasn't, like, just, you know, preference stuff. But I was so pleasantly surprised by, like, how many guys did find me attractive, wanted to go on dates, didn't just want sex, were lovely. Like, I had some brilliant dates from online dating and met some really nice people that weren't, you know, just weren't quite right for me. And like Lauren said, that really boosted my confidence to then make me think, oh, I do deserve love. I do deserve, like, a good person, the right person. Because I think when I first started online dating, my standards were lower, and I think I was kind of ready to accept, like, red flags and people that weren't right for me. And then, yeah, I got so much confidence. Like, there are people that like you and will fancy you and will want to be with you and you know, treat you with the love and respect and dignity you deserve. You just gotta do it. You just gotta get on with it and do it and try and have fun. I know that's really hard for me to say. And like I said, I don't really like giving advice on dating when I haven't done it for so long. But I don't know, is that fair, Lauren? Would you agree?
Oh my God, 100%. I think you just gotta go for it. And I think as you were talking and as I'm about to talk, Laura, I'm talking myself into doing it myself. Because I don't know why I'm not. And I think this person who's, you know, sent this in, we're probably in the same situation. Admittedly, mine's not because of a breakup, but like, I haven't got the confidence to go back out there, but I don't know why, because actually my experience with dating on the whole has been pretty good. I was literally in relationships up till I was like 27, 28. So my first experience of dating was when I was in my late 20s and I was bigger. And I haven't really come across anybody who had a problem with it, made me feel gross about myself. There's a couple of dudes I've dated who are just a bit, ugh, what the fuck? But other than that, they've all been pretty good dudes. And, you know, no reason for me to believe that everyone's horrible, dating's going to be gross. And so, yes, there is a lot of bad stories out there about dating, but there's also lots of good ones. I don't think we necessarily hear the good dating stories that much because the bad can be pretty bad. My advice is just go for it. I don't think you'll ever wake up and be like, today's the day. Or maybe you will, but I reckon just download one of the apps would be my advice. And my advice would actually be Hinge out of all of them. But depending on where you live, it might be Bumble. It's never Tinder. It's just never Tinder. And start swiping, start chatting. Don't swipe hundreds because you won't be able to keep up the conversations. Just like, start chatting to people, go on a first date.
Yeah,
start so, and have fun. The whole point of it is having fun. You don't necessarily have to go in there with an idea of, right, I just want to find a fuck buddy, or I just want to have fun, or I'm wanting to find my next boyfriend. Just go and meet people, go and have experiences that you wouldn't have normally as a single person. And yeah, just have fun. My advice for your first date is a coffee or a walk. No more. Don't go for, literally, the amount of first dates, mate, I've been on where I've gone for a 3-course dinner and I'm like, this fucking dickhead, this man, in 2 minutes, if you're going to like this person, don't subject yourself to a 3-course dinner. Go for a walk or a coffee. And then I see that as like a 0.5 date. And then your first date is if there's a date after that.
Oh, that's a nice way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very good advice. And always meet somewhere like safe as well.
Let people know where you are going, even if you need to have some. My new thing, I've got a separate WhatsApp group with two of my friends, Emma and Stacey. And if I go on dates, they know where I'm going and they've both got my location, because I have been in a situation before where I had to like flee the car park because this guy was weird, right? So let people know where you're going. Yeah. Be safe. Have fun. Remember your worth, because it's so easy to step back into bad habits when you start dating. I've noticed that myself. I did that last year of just like pandering to it and like you said, perhaps accepting red flags when you shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think that's a really good note to end on, is just to say, know your worth, don't settle. You're a fucking bad bitch, you're a catch, honestly. Like, good luck if you're dating, and if you're going for a breakup, then we love you, you will be all right. This is only temporary, we promise.
Yeah, I promise. Breakups are honestly one of the worst things in the world to go through if you have had your heart broken. Oh, mate, I feel you. I want to give you a big hug. Feel free to slide in my DMs and we can talk about how shit they are. But you will feel better. I promise. And just thank you all so much for listening to this episode. I've really enjoyed it. I thought it was so good. And we will be back with a new episode next week. But if you want more of us in the meantime, make sure you follow our Instagram @GoLoveYourselfPod and join our Facebook group, Go Love Yourself Community. Or if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email golove@crowdnetwork.co.uk.
And as we mentioned at the start of the episode, we're going to be talking a bit more over on our subscriber episode about some recent feelings that have cropped up. So if you'd like to listen to that, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Patreon, which will be linked in the episode description below. Or you can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Hello, I'm La La La, let me explain. And this is It's Not You, It's Them, but it might be you. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.